I want to welcome everyone to Healing School this morning. I'm Minton Williams, and it's my honor to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. I'm really looking forward to what the Lord's going to share, and particularly for those of you online, I want to encourage you to stay on to the very end, because we're going to have a time of worship, and you'll understand why that's going to be important. And I believe that during this time of worship we have at the end today, we are going to see healings begin to manifest here in this sanctuary and in your homes as well. So stay with us. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what I believe is a timely word for your body here today and those viewing online. And I just ask right now for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct all the words I speak. And I thank you that we'll all open our heart up to the Holy Spirit so that we can receive today exactly what He desires for us. And Lord, in this service, we praise and we honor you. And we ask that you be glorified in all that happens here today. And it's in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, we've been teaching, now this will be my third week and the final session for me in this series, or in this three services, the last three, but also the final one for the year. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the simplicity of healing, and we talked about a scripture in Acts where the phrase, Jesus Christ healed you, was the only thing really spoken. And what happened? A lame man got up and walked, who had been paralyzed for years. And the simplicity of healing, just by that declaration, and that's an important word, that declaration. And then last week we talked about the name of Jesus and how there is healing in that name. He himself, Scripture said, he himself bore our pains and our diseases. It says this in Matthew 8:17. It says also in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, it goes from we are healed to what? We were healed, an accomplished fact. And so today, I really want to just kind of, it's going to be in that same vein, but I want to talk about healing in worship. And I've also, in the title, inserted the word prophetic. Healing in prophetic worship. Now, most of us, if we heard there was a prophet come into town who quite often prophesied over everybody, we'd all go. But I believe today the Lord has got a more sure word for us. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll open your heart with that anticipation that you would to go hear some prophet who's normally not here, as just what we're going to share, what the Lord's going to share with us today, I believe you can get just as excited about receiving your healing today. I want you to go to Ephesians 5 with me. This has been brewing inside me since late August, early September. And I'm going to start with Ephesians 5, the first verse. And we're going to look at it in two translations. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, let me read that verse to you the way that I read it myself. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children of God. And that beloved is what we are. We, as Pastor Trey likes to say, we be loved by our God. So the part I wanted to focus on, though, is be imitators. Look at the Amplified, which is on the bottom of the screen. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy Him, follow His example. And I like the way it says this, as well beloved children. Imitate their father. So we get instruction then in this word that the Lord wants us to imitate the Father himself, not just Jesus. I mean, there's a scripture about that also, but to do the things that the Father does. And we're going to see the power that's in it for you and I. Now, what are the kind of things that we would imitate with? Well, the second verse of chapter 5 starts out talking about love. And that's first and foremost. But then we go and look at God, and we have that same faith that he had. And what does he do? He speaks what he believes. He speaks what he wants to come about. And that's one of the things in declarations that has been taught here in Healing School a number of times. And what we're going to talk about today is really another aspect of that. What we're going to talk about today does not replace the need for us to declare what His Word says over ourselves and over others. But when we declare as He declares, what should we expect? Create things to create, things to change, because His words in our mouth are powerful. And then that ties right in with be imitators. So He speaks, and we're going to speak things in faith. Now, let me just make this comment. Everything we speak does need to be in faith. And so I want to caution you today, and I want to encourage you today. You can be in faith. Too many people think they're in faith. But today I want it to come out of your heart where you know that you know that you know. Now I want you to go with me to Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalm 8, verse 2. And we're going to begin to talk about singing words that the Lord gives us, singing His words, and the power that comes with it. And this includes, in fact, it's predicated on our praise and worship. This psalm, Psalm 8, verse 2. New King James, which I'm going to be reading from all day today, says, from the mouths of infants and nursing babes. Now, let me just stop there. That's you and I. How does John, 1 John's second chapter, open up? My little children. And so he's talking about us. So you can see yourself here. Just don't think of infants and babes alone, but little children, his sons. You have established, and it says strength here in Psalms, because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Now, in this, what are we seeing here? We're seeing that the Lord is saying, I have ordained strength. Now, what did Jesus say in Matthew in this verse? He says he's perfected praise or ordained praise. So I want us to begin to see praise and strength and their relationship with each other. And he's done that for our sake because of our enemies, that we may do what? The translation says, one translation says that you may silence, and this one, the enemy and the avenger, that you may shut his mouth. Now, silence him and get rid of him makes me think of several scriptures talking about still the avenger. Make him leave. But the key phrase to me is that this praise that the Lord has ordained is also a strength to us. And what does that strength do? It silences or stills the enemy and the avenger, so it drives him away. Now, that strength is important to you and I, because Proverbs tells us it is the strong spirit. And that's where this strength is coming from and is coming to. It's a strong spirit of a man that sustains him during times of infirmity. So you can see how this verse has applicability to healing. Just by that fact. And so I want to tell you today, praise and worship will sustain you during times of sickness and during times of disease. And you're also going to see how it delivers us as well. Let's look at an example of this. 2 Chronicles 20th chapter. Now, I must confess, I've spent a lot of time in 2 Chronicles 20 lately, mainly praying about things surrounding the election. And let me just remind you of what verse 20 says to you. We're not going to turn to it, but it just says, trust in the Lord, and you'll be established. Trust also in His prophets, and you will prosper. So we're trusting. And that's just what the people were. Look at verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, this is talking about Jehoshaphat, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. So I want to emphasize that. And who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, I want you to think how radical this is, because according to the law, the priests and the Levites were not to go into battle. But yet they're sent out what? In front of the army. And I would say to fight a spiritual battle. So they're not fighting with their hands. They are fighting with what? The words that they are speaking. And look again what they were saying. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now look at verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, so they began worshiping, singing, praising God, something changed. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? Defeated. So what do we see here? The praise, the declaring who God is over this situation did what? It caused a shift. It caused a change in what was happening. And it was such a great shift that it took 3 days to gather up all those spoils. Now that just makes you smile, doesn't it? 3 days. And you know what? When we sing and praise him with his words today, we can get the same results. That is the promise that he's given us. He doesn't change. Go with me to Zephaniah, the third chapter. Zephaniah, the third chapter. And what I want to do here is I want to take this concept of singing, praising, and worshiping, and it being a prophetic thing. I want to take that concept back to imitating our Father that we started with when we read Ephesians 5:1. And I want to start reading this scripture back in verse 15. I'm going to 17. That's the key one for us here. But I want you to see what happens just before verse 17, or what is said. Now again, this is prophetic, talking about our time. The Lord has taken away your judgments. How did he do that? Through Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection. He took them. He has cast out your enemy. He's taken all his authority away from him. The King of Israel, the Lord. Since we talked about he himself so much with Jesus, can I read this way? The King of Israel, the Lord, he himself is in your midst. And I want you to notice that phrase, is in your midst, because you're going to see it again. You shall see disaster no more. That sounds like someone who is made to be more than a conqueror, who is always victorious. Verse 16. In that day, our day, it should be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands be weak." Now, when I read that verse, the first thing you may think about is your hands want to be strong so you can do things. But it also makes me think of the Hebrew word for praise, which is yadah, Y-A-D-A-H, which means to raise the hands. And so I want you to see the raising of the hands in praise brings what? Strength. You see that relationship. And then we get to verse 17. The Lord your God, the Lord he himself, in your midst, there it is again, the mighty one will save. There's our salvation. And we know, and we're going to see several times today, that word. Salvation includes more than a ticket to heaven. It also includes what? Our total redemptive work. Spirit, soul, and this body. And look what this says the Lord does over you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. And then finally, he will rejoice over you with singing. Do you see that the Lord sings over you? the Lord sings over you. And when he does, I'm going to tell you, it brings forth strength from him that I believe flows to you. And we'll show you that momentarily. So he sings over you. The Father sings to me. Now, if we are to imitate the Father, then what should we do concerning ourselves? Should we sing songs of praise and worship to the Lord and have it be in effect over ourselves just like he does? And so in doing so, I want you to begin to see that if the Father is speaking prophetic words over you, you can too. Speak those words, his words, over you in song prophetically. Look at Hebrews 2nd chapter, the 12th verse. Not only is the Father doing this, but in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, the 12th verse, starts off talking about Jesus, and he's saying, I will declare. Now let me just stop. Before this, in verse 11, he's talking about you and I and the relationship we have as sons with him. And it says, for this reason, he is not afraid or not ashamed to call us brethren. So he cares about you. And he's talking about you in this verse. And he's saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. So who's he talking to? The Father. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to worship your name in strength. That's going to produce strength. To who? To you and I. So he is in effect singing concerning us. And then he says, in the midst of the assembly, it's not changing environments or thoughts, it's the same process, same words. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And what does that praise produce? Strength and power. And he is our intercessor. So can you see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you in song, in worship to the Father for what has been accomplished and all that you deserve? And I say deserve, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus did. So I want you to just get this picture that as the Lord sings over us, just like the Father did, there is power being made available toward those that are the object of his love. Glory, glory to God. Now, go with me to 1 Samuel. And so I've talked about how I believe that we can do this in a declarative or what I would term a prophetic manner. And when we talk and declare and worship God with the things Jesus has done, what does Scripture say? The testimony of Jesus is like what? The spirit of prophecy. And so you see that relationship. And so in 1 Samuel, what we have here is Saul about to be made king. And I want to tie this singing in to the prophetic part a little stronger. Saul has been told by Samuel that he's been selected by God. Samuel has prophesied to him, go to this place, you're going to meet three people, and they're going to give you loaves of bread, which is symbolic, but we're not going to go into that. And then in verse 5 it says, he continues his instruction, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. So who are the Philistines? The enemy. So he's coming, and he's about to have a table set for him in the presence of his enemies. And you should recognize that. And then it says, and it will happen that when you've come to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets. Now, what do we normally think of as prophets doing? Just speaking things. Now, these are people, I believe, who are of the school of prophets, just like Elijah and Elisha went to see. And Elisha actually became a part of, and that's how the axe head floated, was involved with this school of prophets. So I believe that's who he met. Now look at what he encounters when he meets them. There you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place, and look what they have. Stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. So what do you think they were doing? Do you think they might have been playing those instruments and worshiping and praising God? I do. And look what it says. It didn't say they would just be singing. It says what? They will be prophesying. So this is what was going on in that worship, that they were actually prophesying. Well, what change occurred? What happened to it? Well, look at verse 6. And Samuel says to him, "Then, when you encounter them who are praising and worshiping and prophesying, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you." That's the first thing. So that presence was what? Manifested. And you will prophesy with them. That's the second thing. So he's going to begin to worship and prophesy with them. And the third thing is he's going to be changed into another man. In other words, there's a transformation that is going on with him in this singing and praising and worshiping. Now, songs with music and singing today, I've been in environments where they, I believe, have been prophetic songs, and we all have. But we think of prophecy more as just spoken words, and we need to change that. Because what do we see here? When this happened, what they were declaring in their words of praise became manifested. In other words, they received a visitation of the Lord, and our Saul did, and it manifested in him. So my question is, should this not also include healing for us? If it made him a new man, could it not also make a new knee for someone, or a new kidney? Or clean out a heart? And we're going to use some of those examples over and over. In other words, it's what? It's he himself manifesting. And that's what Jesus said he would do. Excuse me, in John 14, 21st verse. In fact, he said, "The Father and I will come and we will manifest ourselves to you." And so I want you to begin to see that we have, through the spirit of prophecy, through this worship, same worship, we have healing, I believe, available to us. Worship can shift an atmosphere. It can change the situation. Just as Jesus did when that storm hit. When he spoke, "Peace, be still," what was he doing? Remember where he was? Asleep on the stern of the boat, on a pillow? What was he doing? He was releasing what was inside him to that environment. That peace that he had inside him, when he released it, the storm was quieted. So we know that prophesying, that declaring words, can shift an atmosphere, just as he did. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Numbers. And we're going to look at the 26th chapter, and we're going to read several verses here. Now, this is concerning the blessing, the Aaronic blessing, the priestly blessing. But I just want to remind you that, and I even saw this recently when the funeral was held for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and they had a lady Jewish rabbi. A lot of what she did was taking scripture and singing it. And I want to tell you, that's what the priests did in this day, and they still do. They would make this sign of the Hebrew letter Shem, and they would hold their hands up, and they would sing this blessing to the people. And there's some other things we could teach about it, but we don't have time today. Look at what Moses is instructed by the Lord. Numbers 26, is that what it says up there? All right, go down to 23 then. Well, I have put the wrong scripture down for Pastor Robert. Let me just turn there. And I know what I did. I put Numbers 26. It's number 6, Robert. I'm sorry. It's not 26. It's number 6. This is when Moses received this instruction in verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless. This is the way you shall declare a blessing over the children of Israel. Say to them," and then verse 24. And this is what the Lord spoke. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Now, I'm not going to try to sing that, but it's a beautiful sound when a priest sings that, or when a Jewish person sings that Aaronic blessing. But then I want you to look at the next verse, 27, because a change when that blessing is sung over them is coming to them. And what is that change? "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel." Well, you have had a name put on you. You've had a name given to you. And then it says, "I will bless them," future tense. So he is declaring, they are singing over them, the blessing of the Lord and the name of the Lord coming upon them. So that's what he's doing. Now I want to ask you this question. Did this blessing, did this promise fail? Twice in Joshua and once, I believe, in Isaiah. It's 1 Kings. Once in 1 Kings it says, all the promises of God came to pass. None failed. So here's the Lord speaking his words through the priest to the people. Now, if it worked under the old covenant, should it also not be equally effective today in our new and better covenant for us? Absolutely it should. So let's look at what this brings forth. And so I want you to go to the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk, or the Hebrews pronounce this. Let me see if I can do this. Habakkuk. So whichever way you want to look at it, go to that book and let's look at the 3rd chapter, verses 3 and 4. Now in doing this, I'm going to get into a discussion of the Hebrew words for praise that are used, and because it's important that we understand and see what they say, what it really means. So it says, "God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah." Pause and think about that. And then I put this here so that you could see this part of the verse just before we get to verse 4. "His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was filled with his praise." And then look at what is the results. I want you to see results in this verse as it describes him. "His brightness was like the light, and he had rays flashing from his hand." Some translations say like lightning. "And there his power was hidden." Or "and there his power resided." So notice the impact of what is available from that praise we saw in verse 3. All of this of the Lord available to us. And if you go on and read, it talks in 5 and 6, it talks about some of the works, and we're not going to do that. So I want you to see that praise makes power available to manifest. Now, leave that verse there for a minute, and I want to talk about this word praise that was in verse 3. It says, "The earth was full of his praise." The word in the Hebrew is the word Tehillah, T-E-H-I-L-L-A. This word is taken from another Hebrew word, which is halal, which is where we get hallelujah from. And the reason I want you to see this is I want you to understand the implication of this praise. And we'll look some more at Tehillah in just a moment, or Tehillah. This word translated praise, halal, also literally means these two things: to shine, Now, when I say that, go back to the first line in this verse. His brightness was like the light. Same word used in light as when he said, let light be. Let there be light. And then it also means, this word halal, which is translated praise, means to flash forth. So can you tie that into he had rays flashing from his hand? That's what the praise going forth, I believe, releases, because it's in his hands, and we just talked about our hands. That's where the power is hidden. Now, what is that light doing? What is that shining and the flash doing? Well, what does light always do? It overwhelms, it overcomes, it drives out darkness. Is that a long battle? No. It's what? Instantaneous. Light comes on the scene, and where is darkness gone? It's just gone. So it is causing, that light is causing a change. It's changing, like I say, we can say the atmosphere. So is it changing? Is it capable, that light that is released as a result of our Tehillah? Is that also, can it release power that changes cells from a cancer cell to a normal cell? Can it also create where someone may have problems with cartilage in their knees and not enough or deteriorated or torn, and it cause a replacement cartilage to be in there? Absolutely it can. So I want us to begin to see this power is just not something out there to just magnify God with and see it. It's available for you. All of his goodness is available for you in this way. Again, healing to manifest through the praise, stilling the enemy and what? Seeing darkness flee. Now let's look at two more uses of this word. Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy, talking about the Lord. And look what it says here. Enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now, if he's enthroned in Israel's praises, it's also enthroned in what? In our praises. The King James says that he inhabits the praise of his people. Now, if he's coming and inhabiting the praise that we're giving, praise out of strong faith, out of strong confidence, out of trust, that just sounds to me like he's coming and manifesting himself. And what happened when Jesus was manifested here on the earth all the time? How many times does it say, and he healed them all? Or he healed everyone? So we need to begin to see that when we are worshiping with that Tehillah type worship, that he's going to manifest himself. He's going to inhabit those praises, and there with him comes all of his power. Let me show you one more. Let me back up. When we talk about him manifesting, think back to the temple when Solomon was dedicating the temple, and they were singing, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. What happened? The presence of God fell. The glory of God fell. The atmosphere shifted. Saints, beloved of God, there is no reason we ought not to experience that same thing and the healing that can flow forth from it. Isaiah 42, verse 10. Isaiah 42, verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise, Tehillah, from the ends of the earth. Now, think about this again. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, let me tell you what the word T-E-H-I-L-L-A literally means in the Hebrew. It means a fresh song. just like you would think about a fresh anointing, which is what? An anointing of the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing. So is a fresh song then a fresh word, a fresh song of the Spirit that we're singing? Is that part of what we do when we sing a new song in our prayer language and we worship Him in our prayer language? And I've talked to a number of people, and this is certainly myself. This is true of myself. I have seen in this past year a dramatic increase of my use of my prayer language in singing and worshiping. Now, I'm not going to do that for you, because everybody ought to sing, but everybody ought not sing with a microphone in their hands. So I'm not going to do that. But over and over, in fact, BJ will tell you that even around the house, I'll be driving and it'll just come. And so I think we're seeing an increase of that, and now I believe we're seeing why, because of the power. Again, that singing changes things in our body as we sing in faith. So I want to go to Psalms, and we're going to look at five different Psalms, maybe six if we have time. And I want to start with Psalm 103. Now, do you remember, those of you who were in attendance here, when we sang together before I started teaching, what Miss Judy said when she introduced us that we were about to sing? She said, a song of David. So I want to ask you, what is a psalm? A psalm is simply a song. In fact, I will tell you that many, many of the psalms, the first line of the psalm, like the 23rd psalm, is not, "The Lord is my shepherd." The first line in the Hebrew text actually says, "A song of David." So we need to see that all these things that we read as psalms, as just words, were a song, and we can sing them to the Lord as well. Look at Psalm 103. Others will say a song of Korah, or maybe just a song, but this one says a psalm, or I would say a song of David. And then it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name," which is what we were singing this morning. Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then verse 3, because this is healing school, "who forgives all our iniquities." So when Jesus took away our sins, what went with it? The punishment we should have received of sickness because of the sin. And thus, "who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." So there's healing manifesting in this psalm. Verse 4, "He also redeems our life from destruction. No stealing, no killing and destroying coming near me and you. Who crowns us with His loving kindness and tender mercies." And then verse 5, "who satisfies your mouth with good things." Now, earlier this year, I made the statement when teaching this verse that this is not talking about giving us good food. But it's talking about giving us what? Good words that we sing that will produce so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So you're declaring your over yourself and over others when you sing things that are satisfying to your mouth, that are the word of God. And it's only that word that's really going to satisfy. Nothing else in this flesh is going to satisfy like His word and His presence, will you? And then what do we see? That our youth is renewed like the eagle. Look at Psalm 107. Verse 20, and I just went through and picked out five of these, and there's numerous ones that either talk about healed or healing or some other word to describe it. "He sent His word and healed them." So there's healing again, that we can prophesy His word over ourselves and declare what He has done and delivered them from our destructions. Psalm 30, verse 2. And this one is very simple. "I cried to you, and you healed me." Now, this is not talking about I cried and had a pity party. This is talking about I declared out of my mouth. I spoke out of my mouth. I called upon you. Look at Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Now that reminds us of the Aaronic blessing we looked at. Then Selah, pause and think about that. And look at what the impact of that is. That your way may be made known on the earth, and that your salvation among all nations. So there's that word salvation, again, encompasses healing, encompasses having our needs met, everything that we need for life and godliness. And then look at Psalm 147, the third verse. Psalm 147, the third verse. He heals the brokenhearted. So this healing is not just for the flesh, but it's for our soulish realm as well. And then it says, he binds up their wounds, which deals with our flesh. So over and over in these songs that we normally say, that we can sing, over and over we see what? Healing. And we know when we praise, he inhabits our praises, which means he's manifesting to us. And so what should we expect? Healing to come about. This is your right. This is your privilege. I'll say it's your honor. We've got time, so I want to look at Psalm 149. Now, I'm just going to look at certain ones of this psalm, certain verses for time's sake. We've been declaring, we actually started about 4 weeks ago, maybe five, as we met to pray for the nation, using this psalm as a base for us to go forth and pray for changes to come about. And you're going to see why. This psalm starts out, praise the Lord. The word praise there is that word halal, which meant to shine forth or flashings going forth. Then it says, sing to the Lord a new song. That fresh song, that freshly anointed song, and his praise to Hillah in the assembly of the saints. Now let's skip down to verse 4. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with what? Salvation. Now, what does humble here mean? We who submit to his ways, we who submit ourselves in praise and worship to him. And then look at verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. So as you go to bed at night, you can prophesy over yourself singing and worshiping the Lord. Verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands. Now does two-edged sword remind you of what the Word of God is spoken of as? And I would say in Revelation, when it talks about a two-edged sword, it means twice mouthed. As if you hear the word of the Lord and you do what? Speak the word of the Lord. Okay, the next verse. And look at why we're doing this. Now, our enemy is not people. Our enemy is in the spiritual realm. And look at what we're doing in this spiritual realm as we praise, as we worship, as we declare his words. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people. Next verse. To bind their kings. Does that sound like binding and loosing? We can do that with our worship, with our praise, prophetically. And their nobles with fetters of iron. Now, look at this verse closely. To execute on them the written judgment. So, in other words, we can execute the truth upon them. We can make that truth come to pass today. And this next phrase is key. This honor have all the saints. This is your honor, your duty to execute judgment written in his word on that spirit realm, which means you're executing a judgment that says there is no allowing sickness in my body. I belong to the Lord. Just like the testimony that I shared about Michael 2 weeks ago, of simply saying to him, all right, Father, I've led him to you now. He's born again. Therefore, heal him. He belongs to you. And miraculously, and I won't go through that again, this honor have all the saints praise the Lord. Now, I want to mention one other thing about songs, and then we're going to take some time to have a song played that is very meaningful to me. One other thing that a song will do is it will take you back to some point in time. How many of you can say, well, I can remember words to songs, and I have a much easier time doing that than I even do scriptures sometimes. When I think about a fight song, a school fight song, now don't you Georgia fans, because you know I went to Tech, start singing Glory, Glory to Old Georgia, okay? So don't do that to me. But when I was in high school and I think about fight songs, I think about the one we had in high school. And I think about being on the athletic team and running onto the court or whatever as that song played. I can hear that song and it takes me right back. When my boys played ball, football in Tennessee at Science Hill High School, if I hear that fight song, which was very different, then I immediately see that stadium and our kids running out in those uniforms. It takes me right back. So, what is it doing? It's taking you back to that point in time where that song came from. Do you realize what we're doing when we worship? What is going on around the throne all the time? Heavenly worship. So when we worship as they do, where did that song that you're singing originate? In heaven. When we re-sing that song with a resounding voice, where does that take you and I? Into His presence. Right back where that song came from. And again, what happened in His presence? He healed them all. So I have a video. And again, I say to you online, please don't leave. It's 6 minutes. It may seem like a long time to you. But I'm going to turn my mic off, and I want us to worship and praise the Lord with what I believe is a prophetic song over us today. The words will be on the screen, and so Bruce will be able to take the camera off me and put it on the screen during these so you can sing at home with us. So Pastor Robert, start it whenever you can, please, sir. And just worship now. This is a song that I first heard in 2012, I believe, and it's called Healing Is Here.
Freedom is here.
Thank you, Father, that healing belongs to us. Freedom belongs to us. We worship you and we give you thanksgiving right now, Lord, for all that you've done. And for those of you who are watching us on the video, I believe that there are some of you who received today, so let me encourage you, comment on it. We're also going to post a link to YouTube to this song, to another song on healing that is also great, and then to about an hour and a half of this type of music by Don Moen. And so this will be available when this video is available later tonight. So we do that so that you can go back and declare the goodness of God, sing prophecy over your life. And again, please let us know of testimonies. We want to rejoice with you. We want to glorify God as we believe we've praised Him, we've worshiped Him in this song, and His presence manifested both here and in your homes today. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in this service. We give you praise and glory and honor for it. And it's in Jesus' name that all said,
Amen.
We'll see you next week.